Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, February. That's the month we're in. We've 1 week left. It's LGBTQ History Month, and its primary aim is to teach young people about the history of the gay rights movement and to promote an inclusive modern society. Well, joining me now on the line is Orla Egan. She's the founder of the Cork LGBT Archive, which aims to preserve and share the history of the LGBT community in Cork. And this week it was announced that the Cork LGBT Archive is one of 36 finalists in the National Lottery Good Causes Award. Orla, welcome to the programme. Is Orla on line one? She is, yeah. Hello, Orla, how you doing?
Hi, Dave, how are you doing? Sorry. And thanks for having me on today.
I couldn't remember which button to press there. So, listen, I was going to say congratulations on making it to the finals. What have I just said there? What exactly is that? I mean, like, are there hundreds of thousands of them trying to get there, but there's only 36 who are going to get the National Lottery Good Causes Award, is that it?
Well, it kind of gets even better than that because there are a number of different categories. So actually the Cork LGBT Archive is one of six finalists in the heritage category. Oh. And I have to say that's really amazing because there's so many wonderful heritage projects throughout Ireland. So it's a real honour to be one of six finalists. So, you know, we're already a winner. We got a fabulous trophy already, you know, and then we're in a shot with winning the Heritage Overall Prize and possibly even the Overall Good Causes Prize for this year, you know. And I think it's really important in terms of the inclusion and acknowledgement of LGBT history and heritage, you know, to be recognised in that way and to see it as part of Irish heritage. So I think there's a symbolic importance there.
Right. And have you written your speech yet? I want to thank Meryl Streep. I want to thank God. No.
No. I think, you know, I'm appreciating what we've gotten so far and not counting, you know, anything that we haven't got yet.
Hold on a second. You would like world peace, though, wouldn't you?
Of course.
Phew, okay, now.
Once you don't ask me to do an Irish jig now on top of that question.
An Irish jig. Actually, funny thing, we're going to be talking about something Irish jig in a minute or two, about a Gaeltacht in Canada in a few minutes. But anyway, what is, by the way, the Cork LGBT Archive exactly, Orla?
Okay, so I established the Cork LGBT Archive to gather and preserve and share information about the rich history of the Cork lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender communities. And I suppose it's because I knew that there was this amazing history there, but that it was a hidden history and I wanted to bring it to light. So there's a number of different aspects to the archive. So there's a physical collection, which is now in the Cork Public Museum in Fitzgerald's Park. Yeah. There's a digital archive, which is on corklgbtarchive.com. There's a book, Queer Republic of Cork, which kind of takes you through the development of the community from the 70s, 80s, 90s. There's an exhibition, which has been displayed in various locations in Cork, in Belfast, it went to Berlin. There's a film, which is called Out and About. There's a short play that I wrote called Leaside Lesbies, and there's a walking tour. So I suppose the idea really is to enable people to engage with the history in many different ways, you know. But then, of course, pandemic, we had to reimagine it. So one of the most recent things we did last year was to create an interactive walking tour. So in collaboration with Cork Pride, we put plaques on buildings around Cork, buildings that had significance for the development of the community. And then there was QR codes that link to exhibits on the digital archive. So the next time you're in Cork, you can download the map and take the tour. And it's literally about putting our history on the map and also adapting what we were doing to kind of pandemic.
And have you been gathering stuff from kind of private collections of bits and pieces you mightn't have thought about, but somebody says, look, I've got this. Oh, yeah, great.
Well, I was really lucky to have quite a large collection at the core of the archive, and that's the Arthur Leahy collection. So Arthur is like an activist in Cork forever, still very active. And he had the foresight to start putting things in boxes from the 1970s onwards. And he gave me access to that collection. So that's the core of the archive. But then what I've tried to do is to also then add to that. Like, for example, I've collaborated with Sarah Phillips, who runs the Irish Trans Archive, to make sure that I was more inclusive in terms of the material that's in the collection. But one of the things I think you have to kind of note with this is that this is a project that has no core funding. All the work that is done on this is done on a voluntary basis, that it's very much a passion project, you know, and it's like I said, I knew that there was this rich history there, but I wanted to bring it to light. So enabling people, not just the LGBT community, but also I think the wider community to engage with it. And I suppose for me, particularly to have young LGBT people to be able to have a sense of the history of their own community.
Well, now, that's what I want to look at here, because, like, you know, if the aim of the archive is to kind of preserve and digitise and share and display information in relation to the history of the LGBT communities in Cork, when you think of gay culture in Ireland, is it fair to say it's generally Dublin that springs to mind? Cork, though, it was a central point, wasn't it, in Irish LGBT history?
Cork is the centre of the universe, don't you know that?
Okay.
No, I mean, I
that
think
was
it
a
is.
Given. There's no need to say it.
I had to say it. I'm sorry, I'm from Cork, you know, those proud Corkonians. Yeah. But I do think that there is a tendency in terms of LGBT history, but also history in general, to kind of take this capital-centric approach to it. You know, if it didn't happen in Dublin or in London or New York, it didn't happen. And I suppose that was the other motivation for me, was around trying to move beyond that kind of Dublin-centric version of our history and create a more kind of inclusive and nuanced version of our history. And I suppose the other thing is that so many of the first of Irish LGBT history happened in Cork. And the LGBT community in Cork were central players in bringing about social and legal changes in Ireland. And this is part of our national history. That's not just local history.
OK, there's a lot of people who have seen the Russell T Davies show in the last bunch of weeks. It's a Sin. It's been on Channel 4, the five parts. I think it's five parts, yeah. It deals with the AIDS epidemic in the UK. Does the archive preserve the history of that time in Ireland, which was a very heavy time?
Yeah, we've loads of material in the collection to do with the response to HIV and AIDS. And the Cork LGBT community was really actively involved in responding to that because, you know, there was an absence of any real government action initially. And Cork activists were very involved in forming Gay Health Action and producing information for the community and campaigning for action around this. And of course, I was talking about all those first. The first Irish AIDS leaflet was actually produced in 1985. And the community also set up a support group, which was called Corda, which provided kind of hands-on support to those who were affected by HIV and AIDS and also trained health professionals about how to engage with people. And one of the things that's in the collection as well is, you know, I've done various oral histories, and one of the women, Bernie, told stories around the increased violence that her gay male friends were experiencing with the emergence of AIDS and people being beaten up more often. But even more scary, she's telling stories about how she, as a lesbian, couldn't get a dentist to work on her teeth because there was this fear that if they engaged with lesbians and gay people that they were going to catch AIDS. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of that material there, and I'm hoping to kind of digitise more of it and add it to the collection.
Okay, so like the LGBT history is often painful and stories of discrimination, criminalisation, homophobia, they're well documented. But is it important to you to also preserve and to present the brighter, more colourful side of LGBT history alongside that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think for me, it's the stuff I'm really excited about is around that resilience and resistance and around how the LGBT community were agents of change. How the LGBT community challenged the notion that we were sick and sinners and criminalized, and basically challenged and changed the narrative about what it meant to be lesbian, gay, bisexual or transgender. And, you know, provided spaces for people to gather, to support one another, to have fun, while also kind of challenging that kind of prejudice and discrimination. And I think, you know, a lot of the recent changes that have taken place, like marriage equality, gender recognition legislation, they didn't kind of happen out of the blue. They were the result of decades and decades of activism and people being brave and people demanding equality and respect. And I think one of the things that struck me in It's a Sin is one of the characters, I can't remember his name, even as he was dying, he talked about how much fun it was. And I suppose, you know, for me, there's always been such a sense of fun and play in the Cork LGBT community, you know, from the circuit of fabulous gay parties that you had in the early 1970s in Cork and the various clubs and social venues that created, the Women's Fun Weekend starting in 1984, the Lesbian Fantasy Ball, and also kind of various sporting activities and clubs, winning gold medals at the International Gay Games. And I suppose for me, you know, I came out into a very dynamic lesbian community in Cork in the 1980s and 90s. And there was a real sense of community, but also a real sense of playfulness alongside the kind of very serious political discussions and activism. You know, so you Thursday nights in the back room of Loafers Bar, or you the crowded dance floors of the Women's Fun Weekend, or the fabulous costumes of the Lesbian Fantasy Ball, or weekend-long parties camping in the gardens of women's houses in West Cork. And I think being part of that vibrant community really changed the experience of living in such a negative society.
So what you're doing now with the preserving and the digitising and the sharing and displaying, and it's all kind of voluntary stuff and that, has it been, can I call, rewarding? People have reacted well?
You know, it has. And, you know, one of the things for me, like I said earlier, was around what it means for young LGBT people when they engage with the collection. And there was an exhibition a few years ago in the Gay Project in Cork. And there was a group of Leaving Cert students came in and they were looking at this exhibition and they were saying, do you mean there was gay people in Cork 30 years ago? And, you know, it was just so amazing for them to have that sense of their history, you know, and this kind of notion that there is a connection to where we came from and where we are now and how progress happens and how change happens. And I think, you know, it is also about that kind of wider social change, and it is about acknowledging how change comes about and who are the agents of that change.
Well, you may have 10 grand in your back pocket to do even more work, because I've just been told each national category winner will receive 10,000 euro, while the overall good cause of the year will get an additional 25,000 euro on top of this. And the winners are going to be announced on Saturday the 29th of May. And you are what category again? Heritage, is it?
Heritage.
Right, indeed. Well, listen, our fingers are crossed. We'll be voting. So listen, thanks
Thank
a million,
you.
Orla, for talking to us. So where can people access the archive? Because it's online, isn't it?
Yeah, so you can find the collection on corklgbtarchive.com. The Digital Archive is also part of the Digital Repository of Ireland. It's also in Europeana. And if people want to read more about the history of the community, you can get the book from onstream.ie. So that's from Onstream Publications. So there's loads of material there for people to engage with.
Okay, well, listen, Orla, thank you very much for talking to us on the programme today. Orla Egan, it is founder of the Cork LGBT Archive. And good luck on awards night. Take it easy.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Good luck.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.